I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So what I want from you, your best cheer, your best way to demonstrate spirit for your team. Because we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. But what about you? First up,
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles!
Michael is listening in Atlanta.
The Atlanta Falcons.
It's a dirty thing. Move them chains. It's a first down.
Do you guys bring the spirit, the energy, the enthusiasm? Your chance to be a superstar.
The Washington Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory.
Fight, fight, fight. Woo!
It's all about the spirit.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
We either feel the spirit because our NFL teams or favorite teams in other sports are killing it. They're giving us hope and excitement about a potential playoff run, or we are faking the spirit just to prove that we are true fans or to get ourselves through the bleak times. And so for the Chargers now, they can't even use the San Diego Superchargers. I used to love that song. I mean, we can use it. They can't use it. But their spirit now is just about trying to make the best of what has turned into a really difficult situation. 5 losses in 7 games. And what did Philip Rivers say? You signed up to play 16. You sign up to play them all. And so you just have to keep going. You just have to keep fighting and hope that something turns your way. And if it doesn't, well, then you go down swinging. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Should the Chargers be among those teams looking for a new quarterback for 2020? It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. Go away, Monday! Although Monday was actually not bad. I exercised, which is always big for a Monday, and I made pumpkin bread and pumpkin muffins for the first time ever. For those of you who are asking me, yes, they turned out nice and soft and moist and tasty. I didn't really like the glaze, though. There was a glaze that I picked up that I thought might go okay on the muffins, but I didn't really like it. So I left some of the muffins without the glaze. Did you guys like the muffins with the glaze? I guess you didn't try it without the glaze, did you?
I only ate it with the glaze, but it was delicious.
Did you like the glaze okay?
Oh, it was very good. I'm going back for a second one in a minute.
All right, cool. Chris, what did you think about the glaze? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, I'm always a fan of the glaze on anything like a muffin or toaster strudel, anything like that. It's always a plus.
A Pop-Tart?
Yes, exactly. Although I don't know if you could put a glaze on a Pop-Tart because it's got like the
it does.
Stuff on
some
the
of
inside.
Them, not all of them have. Oh, on the inside. Yes, for sure. My mom said something about a cream cheese topping that you can pick up at the store. I don't know if it's like a whip topping, but that you could kind of spread on top of them. But I decided to go with powdered sugar. So I have a whole pumpkin bread at home, and I think I'm just going to sprinkle powdered sugar on top because that sounds good. Don't ask me what I'm going to do with this entire loaf of pumpkin bread that I have, but I suppose I could freeze it. I wish I could share it. I would love to. Even those of you who don't like pumpkin, I think I could probably twist your arm just to try it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio and After Hours CBS. How many teams out there should be looking for QBs in 2020? I made a list. My list has 8 teams on it. Some I have written with a question mark next to it. So I won't share my list yet. I'll wait to hear from you. We've got our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. It just dawned on me that maybe the Patriots will be on that list, though obviously right now, we don't know if that's going to be the case. So the Patriots don't have Tom Brady under contract for next year, but that's not odd for a 42-year-old. It's uncharted territory, really, for a team or for a starting QB. And while there is a lot of speculation that he will not stick, I feel like I just saw on the web, you know, you're supposed to believe everything you read on the internet, that he and his wife are buying a house not that far outside of Boston, so a suburb of Boston. So they sold the place they had, and that was kind of generating all the speculation. And instead, they have bought or are buying something that's not that far outside of Boston. I mean, people buy and sell houses all the time, peeps. Anyway, we'll see about Tom Brady. There's a lot of speculation about what his future could hold. I don't think he ever plays for another franchise besides the Patriots. I don't think Bob Kraft would ever let that happen. He'll do anything he possibly can to keep Tom Brady in the fold. If Brady is thinking about leaving, we certainly know that Mr. Kraft can be persuasive. He kept Josh McDaniels in the fold, right? When McDaniels was appearing to be on his way to Indianapolis. So I didn't add the Patriots to the list. But again, that could be the situation if things break away from Tom Brady or he decides to retire. How many teams out there will be in the market or should be in the market for a quarterback come the offseason? So January. We've got some teams that thought they had their franchise QB and have had to move on or are now considering moving on. So think about the Arizona Cardinals. They draft Josh Rosen in the top 10, and then they turn around and get Kyler Murray because they change coaches and change systems and move to something completely different. And who knows if Josh Rosen will ever get another opportunity. His opportunities have been mishandled badly. So the Cardinals went from rookie to rookie. Mitch Trubisky is obviously not a rookie, but are the Bears potentially considering going back to the draft or using Chase Daniel as a bridge, as a kind of a quarterback to span the gap until they can decide what they want to do? We'll hear more in QB news coming up. But Matt Nagy swears that they are not at that point. And so you'll hear what he has to say about his quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. But I think there are some people that would look at the Bears and say, it's time to cut bait. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The suspensions for the Browns and the Steelers, those are being appealed. The appeals are being heard the first half of this week. For whatever reason, they're spread out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if I'm not mistaken, Larry Ogunjobi had his appeal on Monday. Marquise Pouncey scheduled to have his appeal on Tuesday. And we now know that Myles Garrett's appeal will be heard Wednesday morning by James Thrash. And so he'll have his opportunity to give his version of the events. But in my opinion, what the NFL is looking for even more than that is remorse. And a recognition that he not only screwed up and embarrassed his team, but also made the league look ridiculous. Embarrassed the entire NFL. Now, Freddie Kitchens, head coach of the Browns, has also been under fire for the lack of discipline, the number of players who are either getting in trouble or getting fined or running their mouths. I mean, the whole Antonio Callaway situation. Certainly the buck stops with him as the NFL head coach. Though I'm not sure you could put it all at his feet, but there has been this tenor of lack of discipline with the team. He's certainly bitten off maybe a little more than he can chew. But we knew there was going to be a learning curve with Freddie Kitchens. First time coaching at any level. He took the accelerated route to head coach in the NFL. I actually thought of him when I was listening to the Westwood One broadcast of Monday Night Football, and Brad Allen was the referee for the game in Mexico City. Do you know he's only the second referee, and the ref wearing the white hat, the one that speaks to us on TV and the one who ultimately makes the decisions, he's the crew chief. Usually referees have to go through an entire extensive process of working at all the other positions or a lot of the positions on the field before they can graduate to being a referee. Do you know he's only the second guy in the history of the NFL who got hired as a referee and not as a line judge or a back judge or a side judge or an umpire? I think the other guy was back in the 60s. So it very rarely happens, but the NFL thought highly enough of him. Plus, they had a mass defection of referees, retirements, and guys deciding they didn't want to do it anymore. And so when I was listening to that, Brad Allen, and the fact that he, boom, landed right in the most important officiating spot on the field, I thought, oh, kind of like Freddie Kitchens. Here you
Whoopty
go.
Hell.
Here you go, coach. Good luck. Have fun. Don't forget to smile. So Freddie Kitchens ultimately is responsible for what his team does on the field and off the field. Is it fair to blame him? Well, he certainly sets a tone for his locker room. He allows his players to know what's acceptable and what's not. And he could have suspended Myles Garrett before the NFL did if he decided that he wanted to send that message that this is unacceptable. Now, he said it a lot. The NFL did act very swiftly, though, maybe not giving him much time. Once again, the league trying to control the narrative. All right, so coming up a little bit later, you'll hear from Freddie Kitchens, also from a Cleveland linebacker, who, of course, was in the morning after meeting following Thursday Night Football when Myles Garrett addressed the team. He shared a little bit about that on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And I also thought the comments of Larry Fitzgerald on Westwood One were really interesting. I'm a huge fan of Larry's. I feel like he is a great ambassador for the league. He's very thoughtful. And he definitely was bothered by what he saw at the end of Thursday Night Football, as many NFL players were. He expressed it very well. So we'll hear from those guys too. And then your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Certainly there are many teams out there that are not looking for a quarterback. In fact, it just so happens that we had four QBs make up our Monday MVP poll. It's still live for another hour plus. You can find that on Twitter or Facebook. Who would you choose for Monday MVP? And I did post the picture of my snoring dog on our Facebook page. It's on Twitter, so you can go and find it on my Twitter. But it's also on our Facebook page now because that's how she celebrated her 10th birthday. Wait till you see her. I almost took a video of her snoring, but it felt like nobody else would find that amusing but me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rivers takes the snap at his belt. Frank Clark coming for him. A fade route right side is intercepted! 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 Dirty Dan Sorensen picks it off! One of the biggest interceptions for Dirty Dan's career! And the Chiefs
Chiefs shut the gate on Phillip Rivers. 4 interceptions by Rivers.
We got to get the ball in the end zone. And we kicked too many field goals in the first half. A team like Kansas City, you can't kick field goals. You got to score. And I thought we let them hang around by kicking field goals. Defense, I thought, pretty much played good the whole game except for the third quarter, 2 drives in the third quarter. You know, I love the way they fought at the end and kept giving us chances. We got the ball back several times, and offensively we weren't able to get the ball down the field until that last drive. You know, Phillip made some great throws to get us into that situation. Mike Williams made a great catch, but we did not finish the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Anthony Lynn, whose Chargers fall to 4-7. Fittingly, there was one interception for each of their wins this season. So Monday Night Football in Mexico City saw a weird first half in which the Chargers accrued more than 300 yards of offense, but as you hear Coach Lynn say, did not get into the end zone. And then there were 2 interceptions on the final 2 drives of the game by Phillip Rivers. And the last one is the one that hurt the most. You hear it with Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network. They had this long drive. They're just outside. Oh, they might have been in the red zone by then. And they had a shot, and he gets intercepted for the 4th time at the goal line. And so it's a painful loss. It's in the division, but it's also one that they really needed to have and could have had. It was there for the taking had they played better. And the defense did play very well, but this was an opportunity that was wasted because the offense couldn't take advantage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I was going to do some QB news here, but because we have a few of you who are on the phones, we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. How many NFL teams should search for a new quarterback in the upcoming offseason? And then also on Facebook, I love it when you look at a picture of my dog and share a picture of your dog. That makes me happy. And I also think it's amusing. My dog has no clue that it's her birthday. She just knows that she gets to sleep and snore whenever she likes. It's a dog's life. Let's talk to Jay, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, what's up, Amy? How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. Okay, so I think the NFC East, everybody's good over there. Dallas, Philly, Giants are good. And I guess the Redskins are good with Haskins, even though he's horrible, I think. The AFC North, Cincinnati's definitely going to be looking for one. You got Baltimore Founders. Pittsburgh, strangely, I think really is one I'm a Steelers fan, so I think I would like to say that I just think this team has passed. I mean, he has a lot left in the tank. I really do think so.
Roethlisberger?
Yes, Roethlisberger. Okay. I mean, just with the Steelers, if the Steelers just look around the NFL and they see how Phillip Rivers has gotten old on them, and they're looking at, I mean, Brady, he's still Brady. I won't say a bad word about his name. But other teams that's getting, like Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton, they got old on them. I think this team, the Steelers are getting younger. And I think the Bears, I would trade being to the Bears. I really would think that would be a great trade for a first rounder if they would. And I think he would help them out a lot. And the Steelers definitely need to go find a new guy. I mean, Mason Rudolph and the Del Codges guy, they're 2 quality backups. But every team who just thinks about it, I mean, if you got Trevor Lawrence coming out or Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, every team who he's just like not sure they have the Patrick Mahomes. I mean, these are 2 guys.
I mean, how many Patrick Mahomes are there? There's really only 1. I understand what you're saying, but that's a really high standard, man.
But that's just like the teams who, I mean, you got Deshaun Watson. People love Pat Mahomes. I really love Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
I think he's the top 5 quarterback today. I'm not too hot on Lamar Jackson, but some people are hot on him like that. But you think about Matt Stafford with his back issues, fractured back, they may be looking for a quarterback. So it's just a lot of good teams out there. But I just wanted to hear what you think about that Steelers one.
I feel pretty similar about the Steelers' attachment to Roethlisberger as I do about the attachment in New England to Tom Brady. I don't think the ownership would do that, especially with Ben toward the end of his career. And the last we saw Ben, he was still a very viable quarterback. He plays hurt. He plays tough. He's smart. And I don't think that the Rooney family would ever trade him away. I believe they expect him and want him to be with the organization until he's done. There, you know, there's not much loyalty in sports, but there are some places where it's very evident. And in Pittsburgh, that's one of those places.
Can I ask you this? Okay, so what about the team's not going to win? We're not going to win any game. I mean, we had AB. I mean, the number two player in the league. You don't just lose that. And I mean, but the Steelers aren't going to win anything anytime soon. So, I mean, even if he was playing this year, I think we have the same record.
Okay. I mean, I understand what you're saying, man. I'm just telling you that he's built up a lot of equity there, and the Rooney family values relationships and values loyalty. And I don't agree with you. I feel like Ben is good for not only good for the wisdom and experience, but is good for some wins. And if you don't think he's better than Mason Rudolph, I mean, he's not a game manager. He's actually a guy who makes players around him better. So I don't think I agree with you there, but I do believe the Rooney family is not ever going to trade him away. I don't think they would do that to him. Jay, thanks so much for your phone call. I'm going to let you go. 855-212-4227. Zach is in Baltimore. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, Amy, this is my first time, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling out of Merle. I'm not a Raven fan. I'm a Bear fan, but we need a quarterback, too. And also, I agree with you on that Tom Brady thing, because I'm not a Brady fan, but he's very good. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's going to win. If he win another Super Bowl, I think this is it for him, because he don't need to prove anything.
Oh, and gosh. He hasn't needed to prove anything for about the last decade.
You're right. Everybody always sometimes count them out, but I never count them out. Anytime the playoffs come, I always say, y'all better watch out for them. But the other thing is Chicago, we need a quarterback, definitely. I'm getting sick and tired of this guy throwing the ball short, over, or out of the ordinary. He's just throwing it anywhere. He's not focusing like he was last year. And I enjoy it. Everybody was giving me all grades and glory last year. And I was giving him grades and glory for this year. But it's not going to happen anymore. I think we need to get rid of him and get a first-round pick. And the other team is Detroit. I think they need to get a new quarterback. I'm just curious about them.
Yeah.
They up and down. Atlanta, Tampa Bay. I think your boy in Tampa Bay. I think he's unpredictable.
One week
he show up real good, 300, 200 plus yards, sometimes three, with the good teams. Atlanta, I don't know what they're trying to do right now. Because they surprised me these last 2 weeks. I wasn't picking them in none of my picks.
Okay.
And they just demolished my pick.
Well, Atlanta's issues are not the quarterback related. I mean, there are times when Matt Ryan throws the worst possible interceptions at the worst possible times, but their issues this year are defense related, not offense related. He's got really good numbers, as does Matt Stafford, believe it or not. He's also got really good numbers, but the Lions defense has been hideous. So it's hard to judge a quarterback if you're only going by wins and losses, because obviously they're not on the field the entire time. Zach, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. We'll get to more of your calls, 855-212-4227. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. How many teams should be looking for new quarterbacks come the offseason and 2020? As it turns out, we've got four quarterbacks in our Monday MVP poll, and we've got an hour left for you to vote. Then we'll reveal your choice. It's also on our Facebook page. In addition to that, we are asking you, as we head through the show, to vote for Touchdown of the Week. So Touchdown Tuesday, we get all kinds of busy with our various football polls during the season. Okay, so 855-212-4227 on social media as well. And coming up, you will hear from Freddie Kitchens, as well as Joe Schobert, the Cleveland linebacker, and then Larry Fitzgerald, so an observer from away, not someone who was there on Thursday Night Football. In fact, Larry was watching like the rest of us, and his observations about how the brawl reflected on the sport and on the league.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
We now know that Cleveland defensive end Myles Garrett will have his appeal heard by James Thrash, who will decide whether or not it becomes a specific number of games, if Garrett might see the field again in 2019. But that appeal will come up on Wednesday. And then, of course, the decisions will be handed down quickly for Garrett, for Larry Ogunjobi, and, of course, for Maurkice Pouncey, because we've got Week 12 looming. And, believe it or not, these two teams play in Week 13. What? That's a quick turnaround. By the way, did you see that the NFL moved their game from a national to a regional time slot? So the Browns and Steelers were supposed to be a 4:25 local time game, which would be a national broadcast. And instead, it got moved to the earlier round of games. So 1 o'clock Eastern time and 10 o'clock on the West Coast. It's After Hours. It's like a slap on the wrist. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll get right back to your phone calls. Freddie Kitchens, of course, taking this loss of his best defensive player in stride. He's got to be careful what he says, not only to his locker room, but also publicly after what happened with Garrett and the end of Thursday Night Football.
You know, Myles Garrett's a good person. He's a good individual. He does a lot in the community. You know, he's a soft-spoken. You know, Myles Garrett's a good person. We're not going to pile on Myles. He had a bad lapse in judgment, and that's it. But I'm still a Myles Garrett fan, and I'm going to support him. Our organization's going to support him, and his teammates will support him, and this coaching staff will support him.
Such a fantastic year he's been having as well. Incredible with the 10 sacks and the 2 forced fumbles. I don't know if you all saw this over the weekend, but Jay Glazer, who does a lot of interviews with players, he's an NFL insider. He actually had an interview scheduled with Garrett. But right before they were supposed to get together, so Glazer actually said he was on his way to the airport and they got some type of communication from the Browns indicating that Garrett was told he could not do the sit-down interview with Glazer. So it was canceled per the team. They would not allow Garrett to talk. And this would have been after the suspension was handed down, but before the appeal was heard. Again, the Browns said, no way, and put the kibosh on it. Freddie Kitchens, of course, has the responsibility now of setting the tone for his locker room. And also, the convincing the Cleveland Browns ownership as well as the NFL that this is not the norm for the Browns.
There's no excuse for that to happen on a football field. I know that. Myles knows that. All the players in the locker room knows that. That's it. There's no excuse. But in saying that, we're going to support Myles Garrett moving forward in any way that he needs support.
And why wouldn't you? He's extremely talented. He lost his mind. His temper got the best of him. He not only embarrassed himself and his team, but made the NFL look really bad. And he's going to have to pay for it. But it doesn't, it shouldn't erase a lifetime of who he's been to this point, and also a potentially incredible career moving forward after he has done his time, so to speak. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Right after this incident on Friday, there was a team meeting. So everybody got together and the Browns heard from Garrett. And as you can imagine, there was a proverbial hangover, just the wow, the last 8 seconds and how impactful they were, and how that's all anybody was talking about for the 24 hours following Thursday Night Football. Cleveland linebacker Joe Schobert kind of gave us the inside scoop, so took us into the locker room for that meeting when Garrett spoke.
Everybody supports Miles and knows who he is as a person, and obviously, like I said, there's going to be consequences for his actions, and everybody accepts that, but we're going to support Miles because, again, football, it brings you close like a family, and you're going to support your family members even when they mess up, when they do good, all that things. And obviously we have to take the consequences on the chin, and we are going to do that. We're not going to make excuses for it, and we're not going to make excuses for him, and he's not going to make excuses for himself, but we also support him and know he's going to do things the right way from here on out, and he's a guy we really want to have around.
Joe on Sirius XM NFL Radio. I like the analogy he makes about family. It's true. When someone's your family member, you don't always agree with them. In fact, I frequently say this about my family and my best friends. They love me even though they know everything about me. There are no secrets. There are no ways that you can keep your faults and your deep, dark ugliness from the people who know you the best. It's impossible. But they love me despite the fact that they know everything about me. And that's what family is to me. And that's the analogy that Joe is making about Myles Garrett. We love you anyway. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Larry Fitzgerald, always so well-spoken, very thoughtful. And as an ambassador for the NFL, in fact, I think he's one of the best ambassadors. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year winner. He was watching what unfolded on Thursday Night Football like the rest of us were, and he said he'd never seen anything like it when he spoke to Jim Gray on Westwood One Monday.
Not to that level where you would take a hard plastic object to a man who has no helmet and crack it across his head. Like, that, at no point has that ever, you know, even been an option, you know, in my mind or anybody that I've played with or even played against. I mean, that's just so outlandish of a thought for me to even conjure. When I saw it the first time, I was in disbelief. It was, I think I probably had the same reaction everybody else had watching it.
Larry goes on to say that this is one of those moments where the NFL had to act, and he felt like the league acting swiftly sent a message to everybody else who is part of the league, and not just the players, but the coaches and the teams represented.
We all make mistakes, some more egregious than others, but, you know, he's going to have to carry this on his resume for the rest of his life, no matter how great he becomes and whatever he does. I mean, it's something that people will be talking about with him for the next 10, 20, 30 years. And, I mean, that's a tough thing to have to carry, but, you know, we live with the consequences of our actions, and I think he should still be able to come back and compete and play ball because he's a dynamic player. He was a front runner for Defensive Player of the Year when he went out with his suspension. So, you know, talent, and from all accounts, everybody I know that knows him says he's an unbelievable young man, well-versed, and a wonderful teammate that just had a bad moment.
Larry Fitzgerald with Jim Gray on Westwood One Radio during Monday Night Football. Yeah, you're getting the same thing from everyone who knows Myles Garrett. This is not indicative of who he is. Really bad choice, incredibly awful decision, and a moment that he would like to take back. He can't, and he will have to suffer the consequences, but this is not something that is indicative of how he will react the rest of his time in the NFL. In fact, now he has been fined for hard hits on quarterbacks, but that's a completely different thing. I think something like this can be a turning point for him, not just in his career, but in his life. Certainly it's painful, maybe a little bit like a Kareem Hunt situation, not because it's the same, but because Kareem Hunt was forced to sit out and because he had football taken away from him for the better part of a year. And he said he had a lot of time to think about it, a lot of time to reflect, a lot of time to recognize what it would be like if he didn't have football, meaning you can't play fast and loose with something that's so important to you. And now Myles Garrett will have that same opportunity. I would be flabbergasted. I mean, stunned if the NFL reduced his suspension to the point where he returned to the field this season. I don't think that will happen, but maybe it's not an indefinite suspension. Maybe he doesn't have to apply for reinstatement. We'll see. James Thrash hearing the Garrett appeal coming up on Wednesday. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Steven, who's in West Virginia.
Man, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Good. I had a guy mention about a quarterback, man, and needing new quarterbacks, but I think people kind of overthink things, man, and they try to put quarterbacks in the same category. Like, there's only a handful of quarterbacks that can abandon the run game and be successful and help their team get wins. I mean, you got to – but that doesn't make guys like Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, and those guys any never mind. I mean, you look at Atlanta when they had Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. They went to the Super Bowl. You look
and
at Matt
Julio.
Stafford. They they tried to implement Kerryon Johnson into Detroit, but it hasn't happened.
Well, he's hurt now, but he was their top running back. I mean, I agree with you about those two guys. Those two guys are pocket passers. They have fantastic arms. They're good decision makers most of the time. They're better than average quarterbacks. So the issues for the Falcons and the Lions are not quarterback related. I don't think either one of those teams is in the market for a new QB.
So what I'm getting at is I don't like how the NFL is trying to devalue running backs. And that's why you see guys sitting out. I mean, they're important. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers this year with Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy is, you know, he's healthy. They have an opportunity to be the best team in the NFC. And it's just important, man. You can't send these guys out here without implementing a run game. Because every quarterback may not be top tier, but they're good enough when you implement run games into your offense. Just like Trubisky. I mean, the run game's just not there for him. You know, Nagy runs a similar offense to Andy Reid, but he doesn't have Andy Reid's pieces. Mr. Trubisky's not Pat Mahomes.
No.
So, I mean, it's just how you incorporate things into your offense, man. You can't expect everybody to be Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or
although
or Tom
the Seahawks,
Brady.
The Seahawks have one of the top ground games in the NFL, and they made that shift at the end of last year. And so, as you point out, it's really important for a lot of quarterbacks. And I would say this year, 2019, has represented this incredible kind of right turn in the NFL, where now even teams who have elite quarterbacks are working to establish the run first. Aaron Rodgers being one of those. Tom Brady, they're working so hard to establish the run with the Patriots because they recognize how important it is. The Seahawks, even though they've got an MVP candidate at quarterback. Obviously, the Ravens are playing that ball control game, and even the Chiefs, as you point out, have a stable of running backs that they want to trot out there to get their reps.
Right, and that, but they're sitting at 6-4. When I mean, of course, Pat Mahomes got hurt, but I mean, the offense can be a lot better when you run the football. I mean, if you're using the running backs a lot more, Pat Mahomes, he trusts his arm so much that sometimes he doesn't take that safety valve. You know, I saw the game last night where he had Williams wide open on a couple plays in the flat, and he just tried to force the ball downfield because of his arm strength.
And he said that. He said that he was maybe a little hyped up, a little bit too full of adrenaline the first half. And then in the second half, he was better at the decision-making, at using the check downs and taking the easier option as opposed to trying to force it into traffic and coverage. Good stuff, Steven. I have to let you go because we're at the top of the hour, but thanks so much for your phone call.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Steven listening in West Virginia, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I wrote down a list of 8 teams that I believe could be in the market for a new quarterback come the offseason. But I also have some with a question mark next to the team name because I'm not sure. There's still some time left, and I don't know if these teams are going to want to move on. Maybe it's still up in the air, and the decision has yet to be made. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. Though we don't have Twizzlers, we have muffins. But, I mean, it's goodies. And we'll get back to your calls as well. Thanks so much for joining us halfway through the show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.